This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, I'm Sharad Kutin, with me Julian Ng and Ibrahim Sunny with the top business stories of the day. We have Bank Negara, the Ringgit, October's trade data, and the Australian economy in our crosshairs. So let's begin with Bank Negara, because it's the big story of the week, more than a week now, I think it's been running. What we do know now is that Bank Negara's international reserves are down by $1.9 billion as of November 30th. And the question is, why?
Yeah, of course, obviously they intervened in the forex market to support or defend the ringgit. And I think that the measures of the last few days that had been announced by Bank Negara is also relevant because the enforcement of conversion of export proceeds to ringgit will generate about 60 to 100 billion ringgit worth of demand for the ringgit. That should stabilize it in the short term. But some analysts are also commenting that the NDF and the offshore market can't be discounted because those are forward markets, and what happens in the future would have bearing on the future levels of reserves.
Yeah.
And also, didn't exporters already complain? They're saying that it's being done at their expense?
Yes. So I think this will sort of hit at the way they manage their business and their cash flow, because there's this thing called a natural hedge, whereby they pay for costs that are denominated in the US dollar with their US dollar proceeds. And if they're forced to convert before that timeline where they buy those US dollar costs, for example, then there is that kind of mismatch, and it forces them to take that roundabout trip where they convert from USD to ringgit back to US dollar. I guess a lot more consultation would happen in the course of the next few weeks or so, and some clarification would come out of this, because if you look at countries around the region, as we have discussed this on the most recent S&M show with Nur Hisham Hussein, who's the chief economist of EPF, he said that in the other parts of the countries around this region, there are such rules and regulations on exchange control as well. So Malaysia is not the only one that's singled out with this kinds of rules and regulations.
Yeah, it's worth noting that this number, the international reserves of Bank Negara, is a closely watched figure, not least because of the utility of the reserves, but the rate of the utility of these reserves. Right now, we saw the if you benchmark the number of 22nd November versus 7th of December, the number was published. Within 2 weeks, Bank Negara spent $1.9 billion, and this is on spot exchange, right? There's also arguments that a lot of traders are saying that we have future contracts or forward contracts where we have to honor in the coming weeks to come or months to come. So that would mean an even further depletion of the utility or usage of the international reserves by Bank Negara.
Also, Professor Jomo had something to say about this, about the fact that a big part of the ringgit's weakness is due to policy and politics. What do you guys think?
So this is very rare for a prominent economist to actually mention, because
he's quite a vocal economist.
He is. And he's practically blaming it on the loss of confidence in the government. He's also saying that as more and more revelations come out from the 1MDB story, the public confidence is going to erode even further. There's a direct inverse correlation between the more the stories on 1MDB and the greater the confidence of loss of confidence.
Yeah, just to give some nuance to his statement, he says there are many other factors going on, including the loss of confidence in the government as more and more revelations come out about 1MDB. So he's putting it as a package, a basket of factors. It's not saying it's the sole one, but clearly that can't be discounted, and anybody who does is being naive.
Yeah.
Right?
So what he's trying to differentiate here is that a lot of economists are saying that the ringgit has a direct correlation with oil prices, for instance. So there's because of a slump in oil prices, there's a slump in ringgit and many other correlative factors like that. So Professor K.S. Jomo is saying that it's not just that, it's a lot more. That's what he's trying to say.
There are yet some other analysts and commentators and economists also saying the fact that the ascent of the US dollar in recent times, especially after the Donald Trump win, is the main reason why the ringgit is weak. And the key among those arguments is the fact that it's not that the ringgit is weakening, it's just that the US dollar is strengthening very much. But one can't help and one can't overlook the fact that the ringgit has weakened so much more against other currencies in the emerging markets as well. So I think people are just beginning to put all this together, and they are having these fears about what the future holds when the ringgit has plummeted in this fashion. And also, this has got bearing on our spending, right? On our incomes, on our investments. There are very real bread and butter issues as well.
Well, moving on to trade data that's come out recently, and we're looking at October's trade data worsening.
Yeah, so Malaysia's exports actually fell 8.6% year-on-year in October, exceeding economists' expectations for a decrease of 5.6%. The government has come out to say that the drop was because October 2015, last year, we registered a high base effect. So this is something to be expected. But I know some sectors might not buy this type of argument because, after all, the data from the International Trade Ministry showed that annual exports for manufactured goods actually fell 6.7%. Shipments of mining goods declined 34.8%. Exports to the United States has fallen 3.5%. So it's actually across the board. If you say that it's high base effect because October 2015 we registered a high number, I don't think we could see this kind of fall across all sectors quite considerably and quite stacked.
So what does it mean? So is it just is the economy slowing down? Is that what it's suggesting?
Well, as far as the trade data shows, that as far as that is concerned, that might mean that. So the main question is whether this is just a one-off or is this becoming a trend? And we see certain parts of the economy, the property is slowing down. We see challenges in the retail sector. We also monitor some of those indices like the Purchasing Managers Index, Business Confidence, Consumer Confidence. All those have some anecdotal clues as to where the economy is going to go going forward. But whether there is some light at the end of the tunnel, will the cheap ringgit drive more exports? And that's a major part of trade, right? If you make your goods cheaper, then will you be able to export more outwards? That's a question that remains to be seen.
Okay, looking down south, down under rather, the Australian economy is in danger of slipping into a technical recession, with the last quarterly GDP figures showing a larger than expected decline.
Yeah, so Australia's economy actually slipped backwards in the September quarter by a greater than expected 0.5% figure. And this is the first time in 5 years that the Australian economy has recorded three consecutive months of negative growth, signalling a possible technical recession.
Yeah, that R word, right, recession, you need to have those negative growth to achieve that. And I think earlier on when we covered the news on the record industrial profits that were achieved across the world, including China, we were sort of looking to a kind of hope that this would be some green shoots for growth. And coupled with that expansionary policy that's coming out of the United States, would that have added to this hope of a turnaround and recovery in the global situation? But Australia is an economy that's so tied to resources and so tied to commodities, whose prices have been on a rise, on a tear in recent months. So it's kind of surprising that economically they're registering a negative growth.
Aren't they also very tied to the Chinese economy? A lot of their resources are sold to the Chinese. So what would be the link there then?
Very much so. And I guess the Chinese economy has been propped up by a lot of stimulus that has been announced by the government. Whether that translates or not to more demand for commodities and benefiting economies like Australia, I guess that's a different thing.
Okay, after the news, we'll have the opening numbers on the stock market and more analysis. You're listening to The Morning Run on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.